This week we heard the amazing news of Andrew Brunson, who found himself in a prison in Turkey for 2 years for declaring the gospel. His only crime was telling somebody that Jesus was the answer. And if you can imagine for a moment, other things were trumped up against him, but the reality is that all those different things that they brought against him, none of them were of substance. The real substance was his commitment to the gospel. He had 2 years of trouble and difficulty, heartache inside a Turkish prison, and then released this past week. And the story is interesting because his story relates so clearly to what we're looking at inside of God's Word today, because as we look inside of God's Word, we are going to anchor our entire study in a principle that God wrote on my heart over this week in preparation for today. Because listen to this carefully. It is not in the absence of trouble that transformation and impact occur, but in the presence of obedience. Let me say that again. It is not in the absence of trouble that transformation and impact occur, but in the presence of obedience. And I want you to think about that parallel, because here's what you discover as we open our Bible to the book of Acts. When you find yourself in the 13th chapter of the gospel or the book of Acts, you discover something really amazing, something powerful. Here's the story of some men who every time they were obedient, they encountered trouble. But their obedience was never, ever distracted. They never walked away from it. They surrendered to it. And how could they do that? How could they arrive at a place where all the trouble coming at them? In fact, by the time we finish this study during the month of October, we'll find that Paul has been stoned. We'll find that difficulty has occurred with them being people. And it's interesting because the Bible says that people constantly incited trouble against them. In other words, someone always had an opinion that was going to create more heartache for them. And as a result, they had to continually contend with the troubles and difficulties that they had. Now, I want you to think about it in your life. Think about the last time you had a big trouble. It could be anything, any situation. It came your way. And your first thought may have been, Lord, why me? Why am I encountering this? And then all of a sudden, something begins to ring true inside of your mind and heart. And you begin to think, you know what? I'm going to obey you even though this is difficult. I'm going to obey you even though this doesn't make sense. And what you discover in the book of Acts is here are men and women who, as they begin to follow Jesus, they encounter some heartache, some difficulty, some challenges. And I want you to see something today. And that is, it could be that the trouble you've encountered, even the things the adversary has thrown at you, for example, that trouble your mind or trouble you by way of thought, all of those things that are coming at you, those troubles, all of them push you towards a transformational, impactful life that is centered in obedience. Because what you're going to see is, especially as we look today and as we look in the next couple weeks, is that when you choose to fulfill your purpose in life, you are going to face trouble. You are going to face difficulty. But those troubles and those heartaches and those difficulties, they're not there to take you away from God's purpose. They're there to center you in God's purpose. And so here's what happened to it. We have something, a storm blows into our lives, a difficulty blows into our life. A perspective arrives that the adversary throws at us. And it's interesting, by the way, when we find ourselves restless, many times it's because we have allowed something disobedient to attack us. Because watch this, a peaceful spirit rests in the hearts of anyone who chooses to obey him no matter what. And when you discover that, all of a sudden you start thinking, you know, I'm not going through any more difficulty like this anymore. I'm going to trust him in the midst of it. So if you have a heartache, if you have a difficulty, lay it down and watch him work. So today we look at what happens when we all of a sudden surrender to what he has for us and start serving in his purpose. And inside of his purpose, we begin to pursue him and begin to see grace at work in our lives. So here's the question I want to ask you as we begin to think about this, because it may be that you've never thought about it. You know what? I didn't realize all my trouble had a purpose. I didn't realize that what I grew up in could be used by God. I didn't realize that somebody else's opinion could be something God would use to challenge me to move forward in what it is he has for me. So the question is simply this. Do you realize he has a purpose for your life? Do you realize that he has something he wants to do in you and through you? Which, by the way, the reason I'm anchoring all of these thoughts in trouble is because, watch this carefully, when you go through trouble, it'll push you towards truth, or it will cause you to walk away from truth. And what you have to do is you got to say, hey, Lord, I want you to truth to speak to my heart. I want it to speak to my life. So in Acts chapter 13, in the first 12 verses, we saw last week what happens when all of a sudden two men are set in motion to accomplish something great, what happens? There's trouble because the magician shows up, tries to attack the politician. The politician says, no, I want to know about Jesus. And as a result, his life is changed forever. We find that in verse 12. In verse 13, they move on to the next place. And it's interesting because they're going in these different places to share and impact those who have been troubled by sin, troubled by heartache, troubled by difficulty. And if you're here today and sin troubles you or heartache troubles you and you're trying to figure out the direction, perhaps you'll hear today how to pursue him in such a way that you'll hear him speak to your heart and life. So in chapter 13, beginning in verse 13 and following, we see this story unfold. So I want you to see three key verses out of the text, first of all. Look, first of all, at verse 16. Because in verse 16, Paul begins to speak, and notice what he says. Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen." Listen. And you know what's interesting? Oftentimes in our lives, it's hard for us to hear. Why? Because trouble deafens our sensitivity to obedience. And as a result, we struggle at being able to obey him and what he has for it. And so he says, listen. And so I want you to think about today in your own life, how powerful it is when you actually listen to what it is that God wants to say to you. Look on, though. Look, if you would, verse 36. An interesting thing that Paul does in this particular text. Notice this verse, verse 36. "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay." Now, when you read that, you realize, what does it say? He fulfilled God's purpose for his life, which tells you something. Did David have troubles? Yes. Were some of them created by his own disobedience? Yes. But other troubles were created to shape him into becoming the most amazing man who had been admired throughout the Old Testament. And it's interesting because what Paul does in Acts chapter 13 is he uses the story of David's life to evidence the fact that David was just in preparation and a part of the story that would lead to Jesus. And what's interesting is, watch this carefully, every trouble, every difficulty, every heartache we encounter in life should lead us to Jesus, should lead us to what he has for our life. And so look at one other verse, if you would, verse 42. "As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath." Now, I want you to imagine this for a second. They just get done with a complete history lesson, a complete story of what it is God has done, a complete story of how God works. They get to hear everything. And then all of a sudden, when he's finished, when he says amen, the people start saying, "Oh, please, please, tell us more. Please, please, let us hear more." And I was reading this text, and I've read it several times. And it's interesting because I was trying to think back over 40-plus years of pastoring if anybody's ever come up saying, "Oh, Pastor, preach one more minute for me. Preach one more hour for me. Preach on as long as you want to preach." No, most are like, "Where is lunch? Where is that? You're going over the clock." I mean, they're hitting their watch. Oh, this thing is running too fast. The truth of the matter is, in this day, in this time, they were begging because they had never heard the truth. They had never heard that God could do something in their life that would change their lives forever. They had never heard, watch this, the parallel of why David set in motion and the lineage of David connected into the story of Jesus in such an evident and powerful way. And so they're saying, "Please, please, please." So let me just give you a quick warning. After church, don't come up and say, "Oh, can't wait till next Sunday," because I'll know that you just listened and played off of what I just said. So don't do that. But the reality is they were begging because they wanted to experience God's best. So let's think about these three verses we looked at. First of all, Paul stands up and he does like this. Listen. Now, can you imagine? I bet he could have heard a pin drop. Listen. And by the time he gets to verse 36, says, David fulfilled his purpose. Then he died. Which tells you something. We'll live just as long as God intends. A few weeks ago, I was out walking. I told you this story. I think I ran into one of my neighbors whose mother-in-law was dying and going through difficulty and heartache. And we've lived in this neighborhood 13 years. She seldom ever spoken to me in all those years. And so she walked up to me and said, "Would you pray for my mother-in-law?" So I prayed every day since then that the Lord would watch over. So I saw her yesterday. So I walked up to her and said, "Man, how's your mother-in-law?" She said, "You won't believe it. She's back living like normal." And I said, "Well, I'd believe it. It's not God's time for her to go home." And she's like, "I don't think so either." And we're having this very interesting, unique dialogue. And the truth is, watch this carefully. We may not always understand his purpose, but he always has one. And what you and I have to do is surrender to that purpose and say, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Well, how do you want to work in me? How do you want to guide me to become who you intend for me to be? So watch this. What does purpose-driven living do? It does something really powerful because it pushes across the line beyond complacency. And we've been looking at, during these last 2 weeks, this idea of what happens when we cross the line. When we all of a sudden say to God, Lord, I'm no longer going to choose to straddle the fence. I'm no longer going to choose to walk in disobedience. I'm going to cross the line and I'm going to become who you want me to be. And it may be challenging. It may be difficulty. I mean, you should have been me as a 19, 20-year-old boy. I'll never forget the moment I told my dad I was going to be a pastor and his response to me. And I look back at his response and I can remember thinking, I had to cross that line. I got to cross that line no matter what. And see, it doesn't matter what he said, but what does matter is I chose to stay on the right side of the line. I want to ask you a question. Where does your marriage go if you cross the line? Where does your relationship with others you love go when you cross the line? I can tell you very clearly, God begins to work in a powerful and amazing and unique way in your heart and your life, in my heart and my life. So today, as you think about that, what does it do? It pushes us beyond complacency. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. For Barnabas and for Paul, complacency was not a part of their vocabulary. And I want to challenge you to think about this. Do not let your spiritual life go into neutral. Do not let your spiritual life become complacent. Or what's going to happen is things are going to look okay on the other side of the line. And you're going to say, you know what? Everybody else lives there. Everybody else responds that way. I think I'll just be there so it's much more comfortable. Listen carefully. What if he wants to do something great in you and is dependent on your choice to cross a line and obey? What if he really does intend to do something powerful and amazing in you? But here's what he's watching. Will you cross that line? Will you say before God, in your heart, with all sincerity, Lord, I will choose to walk across a line that will help me encounter everything that you intend. I can tell you this, when you make that choice, he begins to work in the most amazing and powerful way. So let's watch what happened as this text unfolds. And I want you to see it in light of what transpires with Paul as he shares and as he conveys a message of hope. So here's what I want you to see. I want you to see how carefully that Paul leads them to discovering their true purpose in life. And when we discover our true purpose, it captures the hearts of others. And so here's Paul, and he's like, you know what? I can capture them with the truth of what the reality of the gospel can do. I can capture them with what it is I want to do through sharing the good news with them. And so he begins to tell the story. And obviously, by the way, when you look at this, in verse 13, he's left with his companions. He's gone from Paphos to Perga to Pamphylia, and John has left them and gone back to Jerusalem. He goes on to Perga, and from there he arrives at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day he went down to the synagogue and sat down. In verse 15, here he begins to start teaching. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them saying, brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it. Now here's what's interesting. Religion had no answer to the truth of obedience and transformation that is connected to the gospel. Religious officials said, why don't you tell what you know, what you believe, what you're centered in, because what you know, what you believe in has much more sense than what we have. So why don't you say it? And that's exactly what he does. But he's wise because he links the story into something powerful and amazing and significant because he begins to teach them all the way through the Old Testament what the whole story is about. So let's see three or four things here that will stand out to you. First of all, he challenges them, as we noticed in verse 16, he challenges them to listen first. All right? And why does he do that? He wants to do something that's so important. It's the very same thing I prayed this morning as I got up. That is that we would listen with our hearts. Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, what do our heads do sometimes? They get us confused. They get us overwhelmed. They get us subdued by certain things. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to get their hearts so they would never be the same, challenge them to think in a way that's powerful and meaningful. And I want to challenge you to think about this the same way. What happens if your heart opens up to him? What happens all of a sudden he begins to speak to you in a way that you have not heard before? What happens when all of a sudden you realize something that it's not in the absence of trouble, that it is absolutely in the presence of obedience? What if all of a sudden you realize I have fallen prey to something that is going to lead me to an abyss, something that's going to cause me heartache and difficulty? I have set in motion an experience that's going to cost me more than I could ever calculate because I'm going to be willing to live on the wrong side of the line. And here's what Paul's trying to get across. He uses David as an example to challenge them to listen with their heart. And my encouragement to you today is this. When you read his word, listen with your heart. When you pray, listen with your heart. When you're seeking him out and worshiping him, listen with your heart. Because here's what happened. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 4, watch over your heart. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. Why did Solomon understand that? Because, watch this carefully. When you're watching over something, you observe very carefully what it is that God is trying to show you, what it is that is going to lead you to his plan for your life. And so when you start watching over something, you get energized, you get impacted, and you get to experience life the way he intended for your life. And so today, as you think about that, here he is. He's challenging their heart to listen and to hear what it is that God has for them. But he doesn't stop there. Look on, because he begins to reveal to them. Look at verse 17. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he led them out from it for a period of about 40 years. He put them in the wilderness. When he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed the land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Now, I want you to get this. If you think about this for a minute. If you're religious and you're listening to him, you're going, oh, you know what? He knows the numbers. He knows the days. He knows the places. He knows everything. And what he's trying to get across to you and me is this. When we understand the story of what it is he wants to do in our life, something happens to it. And what he does here is he keeps opening them up to show them the history and what history does, because history reveals a point that leads to a conclusion, and that is Jesus. And that's exactly what he does here. Look on. Verse 21. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, and a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And after he'd removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. From the descendants of the man, according to the promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine, by the time he's finished, he's mesmerized their thoughts. He has just recounted all of history, and they're going, wait. You mean, he could be the answer. He could be the fulfillment of everything that transpired. And listen carefully. Hundreds and thousands of people turned toward Jesus during this missionary journey because history was correct, that there would be a Savior, that his name would be Jesus, and he would work in our lives. He would speak to our heart. He would guide us to obedience. He would move us through our troubles to be able to discover truth. And watch this carefully. In your troubles, anchor your heart in truth. In your troubles, surrender yourself to the truth of what God's Word says, because when you do that, something energetically happens inside of you. All of a sudden, he becomes the answer to everything you'll ever face. Imagine today, as you think about your own life, what if the last big challenge you had, perhaps it was words that came out of your mouth that did not edify, did not build up, did not exemplify who you are in Christ, all of a sudden, it hits you. Wow. I need to deal with that immediately because I want to live on the side of the line that leads me to obedience, leads me to experiencing what he has for me. Listen carefully. Everybody will tell our story. The history of our lives will be written in particular ways. And here's my question. Do you want your children, your grandchildren, all those who follow after you to hear the story of your obedience or hear the story of your disobedience? Because watch this carefully. You can't have both. You can't straddle the fence and say, you know what, I'm going to obey on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. I'm going to choose what I want to experience. I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. And listen carefully. When you become selfish, you lose sight of the Savior. Because when we start thinking about, I need what it is that's going to please me, you realize, read the entire gospel act, not once did any church establish through these missionary journeys, not once did Jesus watch working in any church, not once did you find them going, oh, you know what, this just doesn't meet me where I'm at. Listen carefully. You need to meet Jesus where he is, because he's the one who meets us at the point of our journey and say, you know what, I'm going to speak to your life. I'm going to speak to your heart. That's what history will tell about our lives. It's so important for you to think about that in light of where you are, because watch this. If you serve his purpose, like David did at the end of your story, they still talk about you. They still recount particular things about your story. And I had the privilege this week of having fellowship with a guy at luncheon. It's interesting because he asked me a question. He said, you know, how often do you go? I mean, people ask you sometimes unique questions. He asked me, how often do you go back to your father's grave and your grandparents' grave and other graves? And it caught me off guard because I thought, you know, well, first of all, their graves are a long ways from here. But my first response was, they're not there. And so I seldom find myself ever migrating back to there. And I said, there's nothing wrong with someone going to someone's grave in honor of that person, et cetera. But I said, you know, I always think about where they are now. And I said, they're in heaven with God. I said, but I'm going to tell you a story. And I started telling the impact, watch this carefully, the impact of the obedience of my grandparents that chose to follow and obey him lives on inside of me. And that's the part of what I remember. And we had a birthday party, my mother's, I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, and on September 20th. And one of the things that was part of that party was I had a cousin there from my father's side. There were only a few cousins left on that side of the family. And so we began talking, and he started telling me all these stories about our grandmother, and most of which I'd never heard, most of which I'd never knew anything about. And the whole time, none of the stories related to the gospel, but they related to different things about her. And I thought, you know, that's why I don't remember those. But I do remember the things that matter the most, and that is what God has done in her life, what he did in her life to create a history, a legacy. And listen carefully, we are laying down a legacy for those who follow behind us. We have to choose to live in a way that helps them see that we served his purpose. We served his purpose, and God accomplished what he intended through us. That's what the Bible says about David. That's what he can say about you and me. Third thing I want you to see, watch this carefully, is all of a sudden, you see that he begins to reveal. Look, if you would, as in verse 30. Let's just skip through a few verses and get to verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who are now his witnesses to the people. And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus, as it is written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. I'm going to tell you, when you read this, you go, all of a sudden you realize something. God fulfilled his plan with good news. Isn't that interesting? What does Paul try to get across here? There's this good news that becomes a part of his entire story. And watch this carefully. When I am in pursuit of the good news of the gospel, then anyone I encounter brings my heart back to who they are in Christ or their need for Christ. Because watch this. On this side of the line, we understand that everyone without Jesus faces inevitable challenges. But everyone with Jesus, when they're in the midst of trouble, watch this, when they're in the midst of trouble and those things are coming at them, that transformation, that impact occurs when they surrender and obedience to experiencing the good news. And it's interesting because here's what Paul knew. Paul at one point was troubled by religion, troubled by anger, troubled by all kinds of anxiety, and he found himself on a road headed toward Damascus. And what does God do? God shows up and blinds him. And you know what? That trouble could have driven him completely away from the truth of the gospel. He could have said, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this. All it does is cost me everything. I can't see anything. But he didn't. He listened to the instructions. He obeyed. And the rest is history. Half the New Testament was written by a guy who was blinded and disobedient on the wrong side of the line. And when he was awakened, when he experienced God's best, the good news became his story. And here's what I want you to see today. You can't miss this. The best news we ever hear is that Jesus died for us. The best news we ever hear is that there's good news for anyone who surrenders their heart to Christ. Listen carefully. That pastor in Turkey, he went to Turkey with one purpose. That was to share the good news. And as he shared the good news, it's very interesting. When they put him on trial, those who had come against him as witnesses all flipped and said, that's not true. He got out of there by watching people be transformed to the truth and saying, you know what, that didn't exist. And watch this carefully. Who can take what is crooked and make it straight? Who can take our trouble and give us something that will guide us beyond it? only Jesus. He is the good news of life. He's the good news of purpose. He's the good news of everything we'll ever face. Today, I challenge you to think about your own life. How good is the good news to you? How good is that good news that says, you know what? Jesus has everything in store for me. One final thing I want you to see as you look at this, because history's unfolding. He's sharing the story of the good news, and it goes on and says something very powerful. Look, if you would, verse 34. As for the fact that he raised him up from the dead, no longer to return to decay, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to undergo decay. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers, underwent decay. But he whom God raised did not undergo decay. Now, watch this. What does he do here? All of a sudden, he shows them something, that David's entire life's journey was pointing to Jesus. It was all linked into his pursuit. And today I want you to think about your own life. Think about the children that you impact. Your children will watch the impact of your story. They'll see what you pursue. They'll see what you live for. The grandchildren will look at you and see what it is that you focused in on, what it is you surrender to. And as a result, they'll make a choice. They'll choose either to see that you lived out your purpose for your life, or it was just a religious encounter that got you nowhere. And here's the question I want to ask you today. Do you sense his purpose in your life story? Do you sense what it is he has for you? Because here's what transpired. If you understand his purpose, you surrender to his will. And as you surrender to his will, watch this, and I want you to echo this over and over again, because this keeps hitting me. What sidesteps somebody away from God's purpose? Trouble. But watch this carefully. In the absence of trouble, transformation, impact, it's not in that absence. Trouble is what validates. And maybe you're here today and you're troubled by something. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know which way to go. My encouragement to you is simply this. Turn in the midst of your trouble to the one who all he simply says to us is to obey. And when the good news touches our hearts and lives, it changes us forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing promises. Thank you for your word that speaks to our lives. Thank you for the way that you guide us to discover your purpose for our lives. Lord, I think about in this room, how do we answer our troubles? We allow you to break us and awaken us and speak to us. And Lord, in this room, there could be some who the moment they need the most is a trouble they wouldn't pursue on their own, but it's something you would do in them, and that is to break away anything that would cost them the purpose they have for life. Lord, you've given us this amazing church. You've given us a beautiful story of families and children and grandparents and members of our fellowship who love you, who pursue you, who live out your purpose. Lord, we are a church centered in trying to discover everything you have for us. And so, Lord, on this day, I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives of anyone who's looking for the answer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.